cannot go on. And life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about rock and roll music from such sources as The News and Observer, The Week magazine, The Independent, NewYorkTimes.com, Rolling Stone, ClassicBands.com, and Entertainment Weekly.
I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar.
This opening is brought to us by R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Fly. And today we're featuring famous graduation songs. This is dedicated to all of those who graduated in the last couple weeks and will graduate in the next couple.
See, I was on the verge.
We'll be hearing more about graduation rock music later on in today's program, and it will close it out as well. But first, these trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from www.triviaplane.com. First question. Who stomped off a 1995 Lollapalooza stage after a fan of her late husband threw a shotgun shell at her feet? And the second question, what 1976 and 1991 hit begins, is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? The answers to these two questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. The transition section of today's program is brought to us once again by BGORecords.com. Today in rock history, and today is May 29 and May 30th. What were the number one hits back on May 29th in previous years? Well, back in 1961, you may remember, that was Ricky Nelson with Travelin' Man. And back in 1965, it was Bob Dylan bringing it all back home. And the number one hit back in 1965 on this day was the Beach Boys' Help Me Rhonda. And back in 1971, it was the Rolling Stones' Brown Sugar. Number one hit, May 29th. If you were born on May 29th, you share a birthday with Roy Crudson. He's from Freddie and the Dreamers. He was born on that day back in 1941. And Gary Brooker, also born on that day back in 1949. He was with Procol Harum. Back in 1967, on May 29th, Noel Gallagher of Oasis was born. And finally, Melanie Brown of the Spice Girls, born on 1975, May 29. In miscellany and rock history, back in 1959, on May 29th, one of rock's first outdoor events takes place in the rain at Herndon Station in Atlanta. Ray Charles, B.B. King, Ruth Brown, and the Drifters are on the bill. Back in 1961, 2 years later, Benny King tops the U.S. R&B chart with Stand By Me. And back on May 29th, 1971, it was James Taylor's Mudslide Slim hits the LP chart. Back in 1973, Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells is released on May 29th. And back in 1973, Roger McGinn plays his first solo gig following the breakup of the Byrds. Number one hit back on May 30th was the Beatles' Love Me Do back in 1964. And May 30th, 1970, was Ray Stevens' Everything is Beautiful. And finally, 1998, it was Simply Red with the number one hit on May 30th, Blue. If you were born on May 30th, you share a birthday with Lenny Davidson of the Dave Clark Five. He was born on May 30th, 1942. And Nicky Topper Heaton from Clash was born on that day also, but back in 1955. And finally, Tom Morello, Rage Against the Machine, born on May 30th, 1964. Carl Radle of Eric Clapton Band died on May 30th, back in 1980. Miscellany in rock history, May 30th, well, back in 68, it was the Beatles beginning their recording of the White Album. And back in 69, a year later, the Beatles released The Ballad of John and Yoko. Back in 1970, a year after that, on May 30th, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's Deja Vu LP hits the UK charts. Back in 1978, on May 30th, Led Zeppelin returned to recording studio for the first time since the death of Robert Plant's son. Back in 1990, on May 30th, as a protest against the Exxon Valdez disaster, Midnight Oil play a concert in front of Exxon offices in 6th Avenue in New York City. The police have to close the street. And finally, back in 1992, on this day, May 30th, Paul Simon marries Edie Brickle. This next article, entitled The Sounds of Summer Festivals, comes to us from the Wall Street Journal, published on Friday, May the 7th, 2010. This is by John Jurgensen. This summer, 64-year-old Carly Simon will share a stage in Boston with 17-year-old Disney Channel star Selena Gomez at the resurrected Lilith Fair Music Festival. The Bonnaroo Festival in Tennessee will unite Stevie Wonder and Conan O'Brien with rapper Jay-Z and indie rock band The National. At Lollapalooza, pop diva Lady Gaga is on the bill with the reassembled 90s grunge band Soundgarden. Live music is the one unsinkable life raft for the ailing music business, and this summer, festival organizers are making sure that they've got something for everyone. Lilith, formerly a showcase for acoustic singer-songwriters that last hit the road in 1999, will now incorporate country, Loretta Lynn, pop, Rihanna, rock, Heart, and R&B, Mary J. Blige. So far, signs point to one of the strongest summer concert and festival season in years. In late April, Stagecoach, a four-year-old country music festival in Southern California, hit a record attendance with a bill that included Reba McEntire and Kenny Chesney. Coachella, a rock and pop festival held on the same site a week earlier, also hit an attendance high, despite selling only three-day passes for the first time. The Austin City Limits Festival has sold out its three-day passes before announcing who will perform at the Texas concert in October. For the woeful music industry, the live sector has been a beacon of hope. Last year, while the country ran aground in recession, the live music business was riding high. More tickets were sold in 2009, 40 million of them for the top 100 North American concert tours, than any year this decade, ringing up a record gross of $2.5 billion, according to trade publication Pollstar. To keep fans coming, many artists and promoters curbed skyrocketing ticket prices. The average ticket fell 7% last year to $63, the only drop since 1996 when Pollstar began its tracking. The music festival, which can combine 100 or more acts at a single site, attracting fans of every age and income level, has emerged as one of the industry's most cost-effective and profitable formats. While the lurking indignities of the festival experience, mud, sunstroke, porta-potties, will never be eliminated, these events resemble Woodstock only in concept. They get more sophisticated every year, with luxury tiers and corporate sponsors. The article skips down. Now that television is at least as important as radio in promoting music, Lilith has signed up with ABC. The network will sprinkle songs by Lilith artists into its programming and insert the stars into shows, such as Extreme Makeover Home Edition, which will feature Sheryl Crow, Miranda Lambert, and Miss McLaughlin on a Mother's Day episode. Lilith's founders tried to design a concert for mothers and daughters, bridging the generation gap with odd couple bookings such as Emmylou Harris with top 40 chart topper Keisha, Essentially, every woman who has topped the charts lately was invited to join Lilith, the founders say. The article skips down and ends with this. The diversity of Lilith's lineups, one of the organizer's biggest selling points, is also one of the festival's biggest vulnerabilities. Will fans of country act Courtyard Hounds in Birmingham, Alabama, spring for a ticket if it comes with Norah Jones and soul singer Jill Scott? Miss McLaughlin says, the cool thing is, if people choose to come, they can get a bit of an education. In contemporary rock news with a local connection, we see this article by David Menconi. Rock opera shows Broadway is changing. This was published in the News and Observer on May the 2nd, 2010. A decade ago, if you had suggested to bassist Dave Greenidge that he would someday be on Broadway, he probably would have scoffed. And yet, Broadway is where he performs nowadays, backing up one of the hottest productions on the street. A Raleigh native, a 1990 Broughton High School graduate, plays bass guitar in the stage band for American Idiot, the Broadway version of Green Day's 2004 rock opera. It opened last week at New York's St. James Theater to rave reviews, leaving Greenis amused and amazed. Dan Greenis's musical career began in high school, where he played saxophone in the Broughton High School marching band. He took up bass while sophomore year and progressed enough to get into Boston's prestigious Berklee College of Music. After graduating from Berklee in 1994, Greenis embarked on a half-bass-will-travel journeyman career. He played in a number of bands and projects, including comedian Mario Cantone's Laugh Whore, and an off-Broadway comedy stage show, Toxic Avenger, the musical. On the band front, Greenis made some headway with Bomb Squad, which won the Dick Clark-sponsored Coca-Cola New Music Award contest back in 2003. Of more lasting import was Greenis' time in the Tom Kitt Band, featuring pianist Kitt, better known nowadays as an acclaimed composer and winner of both a Tony Award and Pulitzer Prize for his score to 2008's Next to Normal. Kitt is also musical director for American Idiot. I've known Tom for 10 years, long before he was in that scene, Greenis says. He called me for American Idiot, and it worked out great. We did workshops for it about a year ago and had high hopes, but you never know. It really has come together. Indeed it has. American Idiot seemed an unlikely candidate for Broadway success, a concept album steeped in adolescent angst and uncertainty, not to mention unease over the Iraq War. It was released in September 2004, not long before George W. Bush was elected to a second term. But the high-concept punk pop in American Idiot is aging well, and the album was successful enough to inspire a theatrical version. Greenis says that Green Day's members took a hands-on role to bringing it to the stage. They were around a lot in previews, he said. Bassist Mike Durnt and I spent some time passing a bass back and forth, where he'd show me some things about how he played different songs. All those guys were really cool, very humble. They definitely haven't been casualties of fame. They're not living the Sex Pistols lifestyle. After a preview run in Green Day's home turf of Berklee, California, American Idiot opened on Broadway on April 20th and drew kudos in all the right places. That means the New York Times liked it, with reviewer Charles Isherwood busting out descriptors, including thrillingly raucous, gorgeously wrought, and as invigorating and ultimately as moving as anything I've seen on Broadway this season. A New York Times review that positive almost guarantees success, and for any working musician, a long-term and well-paying steady gig is Valhalla indeed. It looks like we might be around for a good long run, Greenis says. I'm in it indefinitely, as long as the show runs. I'm about to close on a house, so it would help out a lot if it lasted. I've got my own band on the side, too, Uncle Pumpkin. That's my creative outlet between the stuff that makes money. When I have some time, I'd like to take my band on a little tour down there, maybe after American Idiot closes in a few years. Once again, that was by David Menconi, News and Observer, published on the 2nd of May, 2010. This next article was published in Entertainment Weekly, December 8, 2009. New Rock Wines, an Expert View. A Hint of Prince, a Note of Hall & Oates. Wines That Rock is a line of vino inspired by classic albums. We asked WineLibraryTV.com star Gary Viernichuk to blind taste test them and guess which records are supposed to go with. Here's a clue. None of them are by Moby Grape or The Vines. This article is written by Clark Collis. Wine number one tastes like Big Nose. Very aromatically appealing, says Viernichuk, who's a big fan of both the Beatles and Bone, Thugs, and Harmony. It's really dark. A lot of people would like this. Gary's guess? It's very Hall & Oatesy, Private Eyes. Not exactly, but he was on the money about it being dark and popular. The label of this Cabernet Sauvignon bears the image of Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon. Wine number two tastes like it's very good. This tastes purple and very complex. Gary's guess? If I had to hang my hat on one of these, this would be it, Prince's Purple Rain. Not quite. The Merlot was inspired by the Rolling Stones' brown and sugary comp, 40 Licks. And finally, wine number three tastes like this is very fresh and has a simplistic Chardonnay-type taste, says Viernichuk. I like the finish. If this were an album, its last four or five songs would be better than the first. Gary's guess, this is like Boys to Men, End of the Road album. He was right about it being Chardonnay, but this was actually inspired by the Woodstock soundtrack. Presumably, Viernichuk missed the mud and bad acid, and Joe Cocker waving his arms around as if he's having a fit, tasting notes. Okay, what would you guess are the top 10 graduation songs in rock and roll music? This being around the time of graduation is our selected featured rock music for this program today. And this article entitled Top 10 Graduation Songs, written by Bill Lamb for About.com Guide. Graduation or commencement is one of the most important and memorable ceremonies in life. The music that accompanies the ceremony will often be remembered right along with the events of the day. The songs that are popular for graduations change from year to year. As you are selecting graduation music, don't miss all the years of top 10 graduation songs that are available on this guide. Here is one list available. This includes Natasha Bedingfield's Unwritten, Nickelback's Photograph, Carrie Underwood, Whenever You Remember, Tom Petty, I Won't Back Down, 10,000 Maniacs, These Are Days, The Ataris, In This Diary, Josh Groban, You Raise Me Up, Sarah McLachlan, I Will Remember You, Queen, We Are the Champions, Cyndi Lauper, True Colors, Jordan Sparks, One Step at a Time, Taylor Swift, A Place in This World, Yael Naim, New Soul, Rembrandt's I'll Be There for You, Alanis Morissette, You Learn, Nickelback, If Today Was Your Last Day, Mariah Carey, Hero, Jessica Andrews, Who I Am, Phil Collins, On My Way, and Lupe Fiasco, featuring Matthew Santos in Superstar. So besides R. Kelly's I Believe I Can Fly, which opened today's program, I've also found some of these that were listed in this list here. For example, Queen, We Are the Champions. This Queen classic never fails to provoke a warm, possibly tearful, sing-along. Cyndi Lauper, True Colors. tailor-made for those who have endured difficult years. Cyndi Lauper's 80s hit is also a warm reminder that all of us are beautiful. 10,000 Maniacs, These Are Our Days. This 10,000 Maniacs classic from the band's years with Natalie Merchant as lead vocalist will help identify the time of graduation as a time when you'll know that you are touched by something that will grow and bloom in you. The song closes with the hopefulness that awareness of directions for the future will make itself known in any moment. And finally, Carrie Underwood, Whenever You Remember. Carrie Underwood is one of the most popular of all American Idol champions. Here, she is in a mellow mood of remembering the past and preparing to move forward with heads held high. So let's take a snippet, listen to some of these. And we'll start off with Queen. We Are the Champions.
And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share of bad kicks in my bed, but I've come through.
And I need to go on, 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 on.
We are the champions, my friends. And we'll keep on fighting till the end.
And now a snippet from Cyndi Lauper's True Colors. Snippet from 10,000 Maniacs, These Are Days. Also close out today's program with another one of these graduation rock hits, Carrie Underwood's Whenever You Remember. But first, these stories. This next rock news story is brought to us by Mary Kornatzer from the News and Observer, published on May the 11th, 2010, entitled Strange Days for NC Graduates. To recover from Thursday's market plunge, the folks at Wells Fargo Securities apparently went home and chilled out with their favorite album by The Doors. How do we know? Their weekly financial commentary included this intro. Strange days have found us. Strange days have tracked us down. On the biz desk, we're wondering whether the flashback came from all those pictures of shell-shocked traders. Strange eyes fill strange rooms. The report points out that North Carolina's labor force is ill-prepared for the 21st century job market and blames, in part, the state's primary and secondary education systems for not providing enough job-ready workers. The report's authors also say the state will need to make difficult decisions on Medicaid, state college tuition, state employee pensions, and tax statutes in the coming year to make up for lack of economic growth. This next article was written by Leah Greenblatt in the Entertainment Weekly Summer Movie Issue. Hole, Nobody's Daughter. The Courtney Love persona, riot girl gone wild, tabloid query, ultimate rock widow, has long subsumed Courtney Love, the artist. But even 16 years on, few have channeled rage and bottomless want as powerfully as she did on Hole's seminal 94 album, Live Through This. On Celebrity Skin, its glossier follow-up, she retained that ineffable Courtney Ness, caustic, self-aware, filterless. By 2002, the ride was over, and the group disbanded until last year, when Love suddenly announced that her much-deferred solo project would be a Hole reunion, albeit no one with no other previous members. Inevitably, that lead-up lays a heavy mantle of low expectations on Daughter, and while Love remains as ferocious as ever, the bleak, samey production, here doesn't always rise to meet her. The one-time feminism flashpoint, now 45, also seems to pick targets well beneath her. Skinny Little Bitch and the admittedly hooky Samantha both annihilate supposed rivals with high school alpha bitch glee. Thankfully, on the nakedly vulnerable Letter to God and sprawling California come-down Pacific Coast Highway, she mines something deeper, a girl who may still riot, but finally walks towards grown womanhood, too. Leah Greenblatt only gives this a C+, but she says download these, Letter to God, A Bruised Ballad, and Loser Dust, A Feral Rocker, by Courtney Love and Hole. This final classic rock article is brought to us by the Financial Times, published on February 16, 2010. After you, fellow guitar god, this was written by Richard Clayton, Jeff Beck, and Eric Clapton. The electric guitar solo is the ultimate baby boomer art form, showy, self-indulgent, and a strain on the patience of succeeding generations of pop fans. For many born after 1970, excluding heavy metal's acolytes, of course, it's an invasive irrelevance or just plain silly. Guitar gods Jeff Beck and Eric Clapton and those who worship them take their soloing very seriously indeed, but one doesn't have to share that reverence or to regard the form as anything other than essentially daft to enjoy what they do. The two former Yardbirds, sharing a major British stage for the first time but playing together and apart, offered something here for all comers. Richard Clayton gives this 4 out of a possibility of 5 stars. So how'd you do on the trivia quiz that opened today's program? Number 1, who stomped off a 1995 Lollapalooza stage after a fan of her late husband threw a shotgun shell at her feet? That was, of course, Courtney Love. And that was because of Kurt Cobain's suicide. Question number 2, what 1976 and 1991 hit begins, is this the real life, is this just fantasy? That was, of course, Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Back on times we had, I hope you smile and know that through the good and through the bad, I was on your side when nobody could hold us down. We claimed the bride.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until...
All we've done, I hope you're proud.
Next time.